You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and you are walking with me today on Dr. Michelle Live. We walk this road together. We are the same song, different verse of each other. We are the inverted socks of each other. We are the mirror images. We are the same. We have all the same stories, just like you have your own unique heart that was made up of your own unique DNA. It came from your mother, your father. Now, but your mother and your father came from somewhere. And if we trace that back, whether you called it Adam and Eve or you are an atheist archaeologist who's saying, you know what, now that we keep tracing things, we're kind of all, or let's say a forensic archaeologist who knows medicine. It's really, we're tracing it back to six people. We're tracing it back to five people. Well, not five, but we're tracing it back to just a couple of people out of all these billions on the planet. Where do we come from? What do we do? Well, that's an age-old question. But when we come down to what are we doing today? How does your heart beat? Your heart beats like my heart beats. That's why we can transplant them. But we have little issues too. We have to put in all kinds of steroids and this and that in order to be able to not reject them, because we have just enough little tweaking in our physiology. So we are at once completely unique, and we are at once all the same, because you can, there are people right now walking around, living their life, going to Thanksgiving dinners who have pig valves in their hearts because their heart valve gave out. And so they use a pig valve because it's close to human. Wow. How does that happen? It happens. How does someone who thinks they're going to die in 5 months, one patient of mine that I met in the 1990s, they're going to die in 5 months, 100% certain. They have a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of electronics keeping them alive. And lo and behold, they end up on a heart transplant list. They get a heart transplant and they live on this planet another 10 years. And in that 10 years, they find that they sow redemption in their wake. They don't think they ever even saw it, but I saw it. So we don't know where we're going. We are constantly changed spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. We live the word change. We are always changing. We are always in transition. I was talking to someone not too long ago. And oh, by the way, we are going to go to Riding the Dragon. We're going to continue on lesson two. Yes, we are. This is going to take us a long time, but this is chock full of stuff. Thank you, Robert J. Wicks, the author of this awesome book, Riding the Dragon, and many other books, by the way. But we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about pushing that renewal button. How are we going to get to that basis of renewal? And as a matter of fact, that is our second chapter, recognizing your renewal zones, how we do it. We talked about a lot of that yesterday. We might even get into chapter three today, which is Catch the Slide, talking about the slide. And he was talking about his slide down into darkness when he just had, on the day he committed to renewing himself and taking care of himself. Evidently, and as he recounts, what transpired that very day didn't allow what he thought he would be doing to take care of himself. So we need to look at that too. But getting back to this whole thought of change and transition, I was talking to someone and I was actually looking for a rental and in a different city. I was looking for a rental, a temporary rental. And the woman, of course, looks at me as if I'm just a renter and I'm just as unknown as any other renter. And so she's asking, well, tell me about what's going on with you and, you know, what you're doing. And I'm just giving her a little snapshot of me. And she said, well, you sound like you're in transition, as if that was like a little bit suspicious or a little bit of a concern, because to her, hey, am I going to be around? Am I going to pay your rent? What's the deal? And I said, well, I'm in constant transition. Yeah, I mean, I'm never not in transition. Now, that might have been enough for her to go, whoops, don't want to rent to that lady. But that was the truth. That was my truth. I needed to know then. I am always in transition. And God help me, I hope, God willing, I am always in transition, because by definition, I'm going to transit from one matter to another matter at some point in my life, the time and place yet unknown, that I will transition. Now, that kind of sends a little weirdness through me. It's not exactly fear, but it's not like, as I said a couple days ago, those people that say, I'm not downing you if you're one of them. It's where you're at. But say, hey, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go anytime. I'm ready to meet Jesus. I want to meet Jesus. Take me now. And to that, I always say, well, evidently there's some reason where God is deciding that, you know, you might think you're ready, but he doesn't think you're ready, because you got something to do on this planet. He needs you for something. And you can just be sitting there all day long going, take me now, God, take me now. I'm so ready for you. I'm so ready for you. But what about your son and daughter? What about the person around you? What about the guy in the street that he needs you to see? What about the person who's pushing the cart or taking the carts in? Like I tell you all the time, a lot of those were my teachers. They're just pushing their carts back into the store. But they taught me something that changed my life. They don't know it. I know it, but they don't. They are little pieces of my puzzle, of my kaleidoscope that God wants me to see through, wants you to see through. So whenever you think, I've done it all, I'm ready, I've seen everything I need to see, what's left to see? No, 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 no. Back up, back up, back up, back up. I tell that to my dog all the time. Back up, back up, back up. Back up, just sit. Get your nose out of that right now. And sometimes I have to do that for me. I have to say that to me. Get my nose out of this right now, because I'm not deciding the time or place. I'm not deciding what it is, who I am. I don't decide where I came from. I don't decide what my genetics are. And I don't decide how the original two people or six people or how many people we're going to trace it back to eventually. I don't get to decide how many times they've divided and multiplied and how many times they didn't divide and multiply to get me and to get you. And whoever we're going to get, and if we didn't go on physically, we go on spiritually or mentally. So if you don't have any children, you actually have children. Your children are born every second. Every human being you walk by, every person you smile to or hold the door or fall down in front of, trip, which I did, not too long ago in a volunteer situation. I'm walking straight and I'm seeing what's happening over there. I'm walking toward it and I just go and someone's waving to me. I'm waving to them. I see a curb and I'm flat on my face. There I am, Dr. Michelle, down flat on her face. And I was going to be a waitress that day to volunteer for some things. And so, but for whatever reason, you know, someone, maybe I stopped someone from breaking their hip because they saw me look so ridiculous that they thought, you know what, I better look next time. I don't want to look like she looked. It could be anything. I don't know how I was used in that moment, but believe it, everything is used. Everything. Everything. Even the things done in without anyone looking, that is used. Just like every molecule of oxygen, every molecule of oxygen is used. Everyone. None of them are going to be wasted. If they're not breathed in by you, they'll be breathed in by someone else. If it's not by someone else, something else. If it's not by a mammal, it'll be by something else. If it's not a bird, if it's not something big and tangible, it'll be by a plant. If it's not by a plant, it'll be by an amoeba. It will go to form something, or it'll get back up into the clouds and rain down somewhere else. It will be used. It can't not be used. You learn this, and maybe it's changed now with geniuses that come along. They found something else. But matter is never destroyed or created by man. It just is transformed. It just changes. It transforms into something else. It changes its properties. So when you burn a tree, the energy doesn't change. It goes from potential to actual energy. it doesn't change. So when you crash and burn, your tree becomes ash, but the ash gives way to an energy that is explosive energy, whether it's heat, whether it's fire, whether it's on fire, whether it's a statement, whether it's an action, whether it's a lesson, whether it's just a glow that you're lighting up someone else's path, you will always just keep transforming. So praise God we've got transitions, that we're always in transition, that we always have rebirth, that there's always death, but death will always be rebirth, whether you like it or not. You will be reborn in something, into something. If it's just reborn into being a more fit person, or reborn into learning maybe even the hard way why you really do need to make your bed every day. The easy way or the hard way. It's like you always hear that. It's almost cliche. We can do this the easy way. We can do it the hard way. Well, my life has always been, okay, I guess I need to do it the hard way because that seems to make the most sense to me. But we have to be open and receptive. So we're going to be open and receptive hearing about what Robert J. Wicks has to say. We're also going to know that there is a balance between light and dark in our life, between the physical and the spiritual, that we do have the ability to manifest, not just that's what we do. We manifest through our lives. All of life is waiting for your next breath, believe it or not. So I am Dr. Michelle. You are walking with me on this path. You make me possible right now. You are the reason that I'm here. I am the reason you're here. We're all together in this journey. We really, really are. So we might as well have some fun with it. We might as well learn a few things on the way. See you on the other side of the break, and we will dive into chapter 2 on recognizing your renewal zones of riding the dragon. See you on the other side of the break.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
And you are riding. You are walking. Well, we're riding too, aren't we? We're riding. Sometimes we're galloping. Sometimes we're just moseying. I've been on a horse before because I'm not really a horse. I've learned a lot from horses. I even tell you about my lessons from the herd of horses. Going back to Job 12:7, ask the animals and they will tell you. But I have been on a horse before where literally I was told, you don't have to worry, this horse will guide you, nowhere to go. And the horse just sat and grazed. I could not get it to move. Well, I was not the alpha to that horse. I was not in charge. I was not confident in myself or something, even though I thought I was being, I was playing the part of a confident person. Come on, let's go. Click your heels, do this. And it just sat there and thought, really, lady? I am a horse. I can read you. That's what I do in life. I read the, I don't look at the obvious. I read the air. I read the airwaves. I read the essence. I have to, or else my herd would be killed. I would be killed. So don't even bother me. I'm eating now. And I feel completely and utterly safe. And like, I'm not going to have to worry about a thing with you sitting there because you're just not going to get, I weigh 2,000 pounds or 1,000 pounds, whatever they would. So the point is that oftentimes we tend to walk in our little dresses and our little suits and our little clothing and our little shells that we're used to being in, but really our spirit precedes us. And we don't always catch it. We aren't always watchful. We don't always go to the opportunities that our fire, our transformed essence is telling us to take up. We wait and we think and we wait and we think and we figure and we wait and we think as if we have any control, as if we thinking it or understanding it can change one thing. I read yesterday, and who of you by being worried can add a single hour to his life? There's also some other place about adding a single hair to your head. You know, you're just not going to be able to do it. You can try, you can graft it on, you can go to the plastic surgeon and you can get a whale fin grafted onto you, but it doesn't make you a whale. It just makes you someone with stuff on you. So oftentimes we collect these things. We collect the things that appear in one dimension, appear like they're going to be able to be okay for us, or that we get the situation. Now we need that. I'm not downing it. We need that because in order to go from, those are our stepping stones in life. Those are our scaffolds. You need to have that. They give us an illusion of safety, but they also provide some safety and stability. We live in a physical world. But our whole physical world is metaphysical. It's supernatural. It is beyond natural. So it's both and. So there is power and balance, the light and the dark, the spiritual and the physical. It's balance. It is creating and manifesting things in our lives. The word being made flesh through us. I read to you a while back about prophets, and I just had reason to open up today to the same passage of it was introduction to the prophets, that the Jerusalem Bible, not the New Jerusalem, but the Jerusalem Bible from 1966, by the way, J.R.R. Tolkien of Lord of the Rings was a contributor to that. He kind of took a back seat. He was originally called, this is a little aside, a translator, an equal translator, and he didn't like that. He didn't feel he did enough to be called, to be given those kind of accolades. But evidently, everyone else around him thought he contributed equally and enough to translation to be even considered a translator. So when they're on the chapter of introduction to the prophets, they were talking, he was, or somebody, whoever was writing that, or the collaboration of all of them, wrote to this collaboration of, spoke to what it was to be a prophet. And they took all these different people from the Old Testament, and each, not just the person themselves, but also how they were described by prophets either before them or after them, what their very names meant, and how it was their lives. Their lives were the prophecy. It wasn't just words that were said or quotations or study. Their lives were prophecy. My life is a prophecy. Your life is a prophecy. We are meant to be prophets and priests. But it doesn't mean that we say, oh, I am a prophet, and so I stand up there and start prophesizing what's going to happen. No. A lot of these people, look at Abraham and Isaac. Did he really think, I am, you know, he didn't see down the road. That's what I keep saying. All these people that we know the other part of the story, they didn't. They just did what they knew to do. They listened. They acted. He didn't study it and say, well, let's see, I got to consult 5,000 experts here, good old Abraham, and make a decision based on knowledge. And is this just me being psychotic, or is that child abuse, or is this, or what, is there really a God, or, you know, maybe I really shouldn't do this way. He just woke up and did. His life was, but that was Abraham. I'm not Abraham. I have all those sketchy things I think about way too much. So in thinking about things, and we are down in 2016, a long way away from Abraham. We got a lot of stuff between then and now. We no longer carry our sticks on our back, and not here anyway, people still do, and walk up mountains and make altars and have a lamb and, you know, that kind of thing. We don't do that. We have internet. I shop on Amazon. I get shoes that don't fit and I take them back, and I know the difference between this leather and that leather and whether something's really 100% cotton or not. I mean, we have all these little ridiculous things we think about all the time, but they're not, they're who we are in this age. And we are meant to be in this age. You're meant to be here now. So are you aware of the nuances in your life? Are you listening to the signs around you, to the giant billboards, the big Monty Python, the old comedy group, like I said yesterday, their 1,000-pound weight that comes down and smashes the poor little guy in the beginning of their program? Are you listening to the signs? Sometimes the signs, people are going, oh my gosh, are you even kidding me? This is a freight train, a runaway freight train you're riding on. And you think that you're just pushing a shopping cart. But that's why we have each other. So we can learn to get the strength and maneuver our own intuitions and insights by listening to others, by being open to the messages and the prophecy and the profit sharing, basically, not profit sharing as in P-R-F-I-T, but that too, of other experiences. And here we go with Robert J. Wicks, who wrote so many books. Spiritual Resilience was the first one I got. This one is Riding the Dragon, 10 Lessons for Inner Strength in Challenging Times. But I also want to prelude the next section of his, which we're going to get into the renewal zones, getting to your renewal zones, how to start resetting some buttons and putting things in perspective. But I'm going to go back first to the book I've also quoted from, Barbara Hosbach, H-O-S-B-A-C-H, Your Faith Has Made You Well, Jesus Heals in the New Testament. So this is about a chapter that showcases the crippled woman, the woman who, from Luke 13, 10, 17, was very crippled for 18 years. She was all hunched over. She was unable to stand up straight. This is so real. It's at once physical and it's very ethereal as well. It's metaphorical and concrete at the same time. When he saw her, he called her over and he said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment," just like that. And he laid his hands on her. Immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, said, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrite. Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. Now, I'm going to go on a little bit with Barbara Hosbach, her perspective. I like all these perspectives are great. This is our kaleidoscope that you and I are looking through as we walk down this road. We're now looking at this kaleidoscope. So this is Barbara's beautiful colored glass, and we're going to go to Robert J. Wick's colored glass, and we're going to put this in a gorgeous pattern for all of us, me too. The crippled woman didn't ask for healing. Jesus just noticed her. He saw her plight and took the initiative. Stop right there. Your bent over burdens, my bent over burdens, the tethers for 18 freaking years. Let's try 20. Let's try 25. Let's try 10. Let's try 15. Let's try your entire life. Let's try 95. I am going to go on for a little side. I met a beautiful woman yesterday. Just happened to go have to pick up a note from a doctor. And in there was this, I've seen him before, was a man waiting, completely bent over, 90 degrees on a walker, literally 90 degrees. His back was 90 degree curve. His wife, 90 degree curve. And I'm walking with her, and she tells me her name is Jewel. And in that moment, I saw the jewel before my eyes. Little bent over. Rest of the story on the other side of the break. I am Dr. Michelle.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media, Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Well, welcome back. I am Dr. Michelle, and you're walking with me today on Dr. Michelle Live. I have not given you ways to get a hold of me. You can call in right now, or you can text anytime during our live programs, which are Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific time. So everything west of the Rockies. And in a mountain time, I guess it's 1 hour later. So it'd be 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock. But in Eastern time, it is 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock. So that confused me. But you can call in or text. You can text. You can also email me at any time with anything, even a rambling whatever. It doesn't matter. DM live at breadboxmedia.com. D as in doctor, M as in Michelle, L-I-V-E at breadboxmedia.com. You can be a friend of the show. You can also get previous podcasts, all the different topics here, there, everywhere. We always mix them up. I notice sometimes the show notes that I end up having on the page, sometimes they say what we're talking about, sometimes they don't. But it's always in the mixed bag. So you can do that by getting on breadboxmedia.podbean.com and just scroll over, go over to the side, Dr. Michelle Live, click on Dr. Michelle Live, and boom, you've got it. So there's just so many ways to get a hold of us and to partake in our endeavor here at Breadbox Media. So before the break, talking about Jewel, and who I was reminded of as I'm reading this from Barbara Hosbach, Your Faith Has Made You Well, Jesus Heals in the New Testament. And I want to read this because this is going to prelude into our chapter with Robert J. Wicks. But speaking of this woman who was bent over, and Jesus is saying, really? She's had this for 18 years. She's bent over. And you've all seen people like that with this osteoporosis or whatever. It's interesting to see two people, a husband and wife, with almost the exact stature, with the exact curve to their spine, literally 90 degrees, where their body is making one end of it, and you turn the 90 degrees, and their head's over on the other end. It is just, it's a very difficult position for a human to be in. Happens through osteoporosis. It happens through accident. It happens through a lot of things. Sometimes the genetic ways, the herniated discs, the desiccation of your discs, it just occurs. So they are bent. Now, in their lives, here he is waiting diligently for her. She's waiting diligently for him. And she needed to go to the restroom. I walk her outside to the restroom. And we started talking. And she was so sweet. And she had this little cheer about her. And she had to kind of turn her head up, like rotated on her neck, because she couldn't just turn and look at me. And she's all bent over, little tiny. And I don't know why she told me, or maybe I asked her. I don't even know how she told me, but we were just talking about things. So she was saying how something was just pretty awful. And I said, you're walking around and stuff. And she was saying, yeah. And then she started talking about things. And somehow she told me her name was Jewel. And I thought, what a beautiful, beautiful name. This sweet little baby body. I don't know who she was or what happened in her life. Could have been all kinds of tragedies. But somebody named her Jewel because she was the little jewel that popped out of her mother. And all her life, she was Jewel. What a beautiful, sparkly name. And it reminded me of what we're reading right here, that Jesus is saying, excuse me, are you going to deny a bent over woman who has the burden of life on her shoulders for 18 years? Are you going to deny her a moment to sparkle, her moment to sparkle, her jewel, her being a jewel? Are you going to let her relieve herself? Are we going to relieve her of her burdens? And when I went on, she mentioned her last name too. And her last name, she said, yes, it was Jewel. And then she told me her last name. It was beautiful. The whole name was beautiful. And she said, but I haven't been that in 95 years. And I said, 95? She goes, yeah, I'm 95. And I said, well, you've always been her. You've always been her, but you've always been also with your husband. That name, you know, it was just beautiful the way this gorgeous being was in front of me, the sparkling jewel there was just so much to glean from her. Again, transformation, transition, her crippledness, I guess, if you want to call it that, was transforming into, like I said before, her tree was burning, but the glow and the heat was coming to me and warming me spiritually, physically, and gave me that drink of water that Jesus just talked about to let me go on my way as well. I got something from that. In just a little interchange, talking to the secretary about dogs, taking enough of each other's time in some silly little conversation, which wasn't silly, to be there when she walked out, realizing that she left that room, didn't even say a thing, left. She came back and realized that she had to go down the walkway and she forgot the key to the bathroom. And that just made me think, oh yeah, I'll walk with you. So I opened the door for her and that was it. And that's how we got that interchange. You don't know where your angels are. That's what I keep trying to tell you. You do not know. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I didn't even think about it again until today and I'm reading this. So really, unless I'm completely off the charts, which I am in some ways, I admit, this is true. This is real. This is life. This is God. God is ethereal, ever evolving, ever changing, an energy ball of amazingness that we can't grasp, but yet he's there. Imagine if he wasn't there. Imagine if we didn't have gravity or we had way too much gravity. We wouldn't be the same beings. We don't know what it would be like to experience pain without our systems in place that help us to ameliorate pain. There are human beings born right now who have a rare genetic problem where they don't have those, that everything hurts with a magnitude 10 earthquake. Instead of like you and I would experience it. So, you know, we don't know what we don't have. We don't know what pads and pillows and angels are holding us up from what. We're not privileged to see all that. So, boy, all right, I'm going to finish this because we are going to get to Robert J. Wicks. So Jesus, what Barbara says is the crippled woman did not ask for healing. Jesus noticed her plight and took initiative. So all of us who are bent over with the burdens of our pain, the burdens of our life, it's that moment where you just happen to have two people collide, Jesus and this woman, and he called her, hey, you, come over here. She was doing whatever she was doing. He was doing whatever he was doing. It's like you walking through the grocery store. Hey, you, come over here. That's it. And he relieved her of her burden. It's possible the woman's appearance in the synagogue signaled her desire for healing. The synagogue leader told the crowd to come for healing on another day. So it's not your day today to be healed, people. Well, Jesus goes, no, every day is your day to be healed. Every moment is your moment to be healed. We're not going by that. What's this, a 9-to-5 prospect? No, I heal always. I am healing. The synagogue, okay, so presumably many of the people crowding the synagogue that day were seeking healing, but Jesus singled out this particular woman. Can you imagine what life had been like for this woman prior to her healing? I wonder how bent over she was. Well, I saw the people yesterday, two of them that were so bent over, that's how they live their life. That's how they watch TV. That's how they get dressed. That's how they brush their teeth. They cannot, it's if you were bending over at your hips and waist to where your back was straight and parallel with the ground and your legs were straight. That's how these people are 24/7, sleeping, waking, every single way, when they make a bed, when they go to the bathroom, no matter what they do. My back aches just thinking about it. Physical pain aside, what was it like to spend 18 years facing downward rather than straight ahead? To never look up at the sunny sky. I think about Jewel right now. To be unable to look people in the eye. No doubt her stooped posture singled her out in a crowd. Chances are that probably wasn't a good thing for the most part. Her literally downcast body language might have made it easy for people to dismiss her. You better believe it. But according to Jesus, the last shall be first in God's kingdom. And so it was for this woman. Jesus called her to himself. That alone probably raised her stature in her own eyes and that of others. He pronounced her free from that which oppressed her. I mean, really, isn't that what we're looking for? I want to be pronounced free, don't you? I mean, really, I do. And I know you do too. We want to be pronounced free from the pain, free from the incongruity in life, free from betrayal, free from confusion, free from abuse, free from our burdens, free from our physical ailments, free from our mental ailments, free from our addictions. We want freedom. We want that. Then he connected with her physically by placing his hands on her. Once touched by God, she stood up straight. She could finally look another person in the eye, and her first face-to-face encounter was with Jesus. That encounter freed her from years of bondage. No wonder she immediately began praising God. How sad that the leader of the synagogue missed the joy and the power of that moment. His own vision was weighed down by the burden of keeping the letter of the law. So, the letter of the law, we don't have to keep that. Jesus tells us that. He says we are permitted to take care of animals and to do all kinds of things at any moment of the day and to be healed as well. He pointed out even that releasing a child of God from bondage was even more appropriate on the Sabbath. That is the truth. The truth will set you free. So we're going to finish that up on the other side of the break, looking at what weighs you down, and then going to Robert G. Wicks to tell us how to fight.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. You're walking with me today on Dr. Michelle Live. You can email me anytime, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. So before the break, we were talking about Jesus with the crippled woman in the synagogue, Luke 13:10-7. It's chapter 18 in Barbara Hosbach's book, Your Faith Has Made You Well. So she goes on to talk about what weighs us down. Jesus told the crowd that the woman had been bound by Satan and was now set free. Her stooped position was the result of bondage. So remember that. Her stooped position was the result of bondage. What is binding you? And then she asks the question, what weighs us down? In the book of Revelation, Satan is referred to as the accuser of believers. How easily we can be bent down under the burden of guilt over past mistakes. We all have regrets. We're all sinners. God knows that better than we do. Jesus knew Peter would deny him long before Peter did. That didn't stop Jesus from loving Peter or from choosing Peter to be the rock on which he built his church. The force that keeps us trapped in unrelenting remorse is not of God. All right, stop. The force that keeps us trapped in unrelenting remorse is not God. But yet we do everything because we think we are responsible. Those of us who, especially women, men too, you think that you are responsible, that you're supposed to be responsible. And when you didn't catch the lie that was told to you, or you didn't catch someone else's runaway train, when you didn't jump off John Wayne style from your galloping steed onto a runaway locomotive and then knock all the bandits off of it, and then send somehow get whatever breaks there are right before it hits the whole settlement of people or whatever it is, or the herd of cows, then somehow you take that on you. You should have done it. You should have seen a sign. You should have done it better. You should have looked. You should have followed your intuition. You shouldn't have gotten that divorce. You shouldn't have left your husband. You shouldn't have harmed your child. You shouldn't have gotten an abortion. You shouldn't have done the addiction. You shouldn't have done whatever. Yeah, that all might be true on paper. But Jesus didn't care about any of that. He saw her stooped over with a burden of her own guilt, her own pain, her own life. Maybe it was done to her. Maybe it was in conjunction. It doesn't matter. She was looking down. Her eyes were cast down. She was under the burden of extreme, extreme weight. And he relieved her. And he wants to relieve you. And you want to be relieved. And you deserve to be relieved because you are a child of God. So whether or not we hang ourselves in self-condemnation can't help but affect the way we interact with others. Unresolved guilt might be what keeps us from standing up for ourselves in abusive situation. All right, abused people out there, yes, unresolved guilt might keep us from standing up, that somehow we know from whatever, we don't even hear it anymore. Just ingested from our genetics, our heritage, our family of origin, that we somehow hold this huge, tremendous guilt for not being the savior or not being better. Or if we, that old joke, you know, I am the bad things that happen to good people, that we somehow deserve this, that we have such guilt that we can't stand up straight anymore. If we avoid the sacrament of reconciliation and reject the power of forgiveness, we can't stand face to face with our fellow human beings. So she's saying, yes, let's look at this. The crippled woman's experience is a message of hope to us. We may not feel worthy to approach God because of our parts and our pasts. As he called the woman, Jesus is calling us. He wants us to come to him so he can free us from our burdens, no matter how long we've been carrying them, and I will add, no matter what they are. Once free, we too will be better able to praise God and share the good news. I've seen people, and I've shared these stories with you before, who have had done things that repeatedly that would land them in a maximum security prison. But at a certain point in life, whatever point that is, I can't make it happen. They can't make it happen. They can desire it to happen. Their burdens are lifted and they end up so, it's not just that they say the words or they have just this, you know, please save me at the very end here. They actually, you can see the redemption being trailed behind them as an example that this too can happen. It can happen to everybody. So what does Robert J. Wicks have to say? When he says in his book, Recognize Your Renewal Zones, in his chapter, yesterday we were talking about how, you know, we do everything to distance ourselves when the pain just gets to be too much. He says, now we're going to get back to real nitty gritty stuff today here at the last segment. Along with the big things, we must also deal with the ocean of little annoyances in life. There are people, for instance, who call or write us with petty problems and complaints that probably make us wonder, where do you get the time to be such a pain in the rear end? Don't you have anything else to do? The truly unavoidable stresses can combine with the irritating complaints to swamp and overwhelm us, especially if we don't have renewal zones to protect us. Renewal zones provide us with a respite, a place for inner refreshment and reappraisal, and a chance to have some good old-fashioned fun. Okay, so I'm going to stop there and do two things. One, Catholics, listen up. Because we have a tendency to go, my complaints are so tiny compared to, I don't have anybody chopped up in a mass grave somewhere in my life. No, sometimes you only allow yourself to complain about the small things because the big ones are so hard, so tough to deal with. Don't ever think. You can always reassess yourself. You can always rejoin yourself. But sometimes if you find yourself always minimizing your problems and your complaints, that is that over excess guilt, and you're going to burden yourself like the bent over lady she talks about. So, but he's talking too, when you really need, what we have to give ourselves permission to heal. You have to stop saying, I am the bad thing and I don't deserve to heal, because you do deserve to heal. What he goes on to say is, when adults feel safe relax, and have some fun with family or friends, therapists refer to it as regression in the service of the ego. The absence of the chance to be a kid again, to be free and spontaneous, to laugh and joke and tease people is psychologically dangerous. Did you hear that? The absence of the chance to be a kid again, to be free and spontaneous, to laugh and joke and tease people is psychologically dangerous. When we have to watch every word, when we have to walk on eggshells, when we have no relationships in which to be ourselves, when burnout is sure to follow. And so we need personal renewal zones where we have space to be free, to be ordinary, to be ourselves. If we don't have such spaces, we not only experience distress, but we also the possibility of compassion fatigue, alcohol and drug abuse, physical illness even. It can even lead to an unnecessary job change, divorce, or a psychological disorder. The self is limited. It is only so much energy. If it is not renewed, then depletion will surely take place. Too often, we don't avail ourselves of the type of activity that truly renews us. When this occurs, we run a greater risk that we will unnecessarily lose perspective and burn out, which is not only sad for us, but for the people we are in a position to help in our circle of family, friends, and coworkers. Then sometimes, when we least expect it, something happens to wake us up to how foolish we've been. In my own case, I still remember when this happened to me, a story that I first related in my book, After 50. And then he goes on to talk about a situation where a friend of his who was dying of brain cancer gave him an invaluable lesson, which we will have to talk about tomorrow. But here's a friend dying of brain cancer. And he was talking to him about the very nitty gritty of life and what they have accomplished in life. And at the very last moment, this friend dying of cancer corrected Robert J. Wicks when he was talking about rekindling or rethinking of all the things, opportunities he'd missed or all the good things he'd done. He said, no. When was the last time you had some fun? When was the last time you saw a movie or went fishing? The man dying of cancer was telling him, I'm dying here, and I've had a life too, and I've had marriages, and I've had children, and I've done things. But when it comes down to it, have I lived life? Have I breathed in the air? Have I been tickled? Have I felt what it's like to have grass, or the joy of catching a fish, if that's what you like to do, or the joy of going to an aquarium and preserving a fish, whatever it is? These are the psychological and the spiritual things that sometimes we as Catholics, or we as women, or we as codependent people even, we tend to think that it's frivolous, that we're wasting time, that we have to, that we are responsible for everything. When we find out, we're responsible for nothing but what God gives us, the skin in the body it sits in. That's what we're responsible for. First, oxygen mask on you, then oxygen mask on your children. So we have to remember that, please. So we're going to talk tomorrow then. We're going to go into see and enjoy the spiritual and psychological oasis that your life provides. So today, when we close this program, all day today, I want you to ponder on your spiritual and psychological oases that you have, even in the midst of your bent over world and your troubles. We will take this up tomorrow. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. God bless you. Write me, DM Live, redboxmedia.com.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.